Sunday the 9th of February 2020, 10:45 service. Sermon series, God Speaks. Sermon title, Stewardship and Fellowship. Bible reading, Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to the end. A talk is by Reverend Christine Harding. The very astute among you may notice that there is a difference in the acoustics between the Bible reading and Christine's talk. That's because, for reasons which are too complex to explain here, we had to do a retake on Christine's talk. Anyway, that's enough from me. Let's hear from Emmanuel, who brought us our Bible reading.
The reading is taken from Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 18. Robbing God. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see, I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we are called arrogant, we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and I pray that the words that I speak will be your words. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great attributes of God is that he never changes. Verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. He is infinite, eternal and unchangeable in all his attributes. And that's what makes him different from every one of us. Because we change every day, even hour by hour. And everything around us changes. Nothing in this world remains the same except God. And because of our sin, we desperately need to change for the better. It's not enough to do good. We must do good for the right reason. God's justice is not poured out on sin only in the future, but in the present age, as Malachi's audience were discovering. Because of their sin, they were already separated from God, and they needed to return to him. And when they did, God would return to them. They were living under a curse because they were robbing God and therefore missing out on God's abundant blessings, failing to do everything we can to follow God's commands and live lives worthy of his calling is sinful and merits the wrath of a just God. In verse 8, God gets specific about where his people were falling short. Will man rob God? Yet you rob me. He accuses them of stealing from him by withholding a portion of their tithes and offerings. They were guilty of robbing God, not because God needed their contributions, but because their assets rightly belonged to him and were to be used for his purposes, which were not being achieved. This is a great verse. It brings us back to reality as we think about our worship, relationship, and giving to God. Are we holding back from God all that we can give him? Which is not just about money, although that's important. If we want to see God's work being carried out, Harrington Lees, the Anglican Bishop of Melbourne, once said, "The most sensitive part of civilised man is his pocket. And one of the fiercest fights a preacher has to wage is when his preaching touches the pockets of his hearers." Well, that's where we go today, but not just with money. It's also about our time and commitment, which is just as important, because the amount of time and effort we put in to being a family member of God's church matters. There is always work to be done. A bit like our own house, you know, the dreaded housework. And if we never bothered to clean up after ourselves, then we would soon find ourselves living in a mess. Or if we never washed up, we would eventually run out of crockery. It's no different with church or the hall. We are all members of the same family, and we must take on the responsibility of keeping God's house in order. And I know some people are paid to carry out some of these tasks, but that does not let us off the hook. We all need to take on some of the responsibility, which means we can't just sit back and do nothing. It's great that some people have stepped up and are helping at coffee shop and New Beginnings. Thank you to each of you, but there is still much to be done, and other groups and activities still need help. There will never come a time when we say, "Sorry, you're not required," because every one of us is needed in some shape or form. As we look around church, we can see that there are cobwebs in many places, and we might ask, whose responsibility is it to clean them? Now, we could say, the person who cleans the church. But isn't that passing the buck and turning a blind eye with the attitude, someone else will do it? This is God's house, so shouldn't we want to see it clean and tidy? It's a big church, and one or two people cannot do everything that needs to be done. Anne, for many years, did the gardening for us as part of her giving to the church, but she is no longer able to continue to do it. So no one does it voluntarily, which means we have to employ a gardener to do it. Bob has taken on cutting the grass, which is part of his giving. Alan, John and Julian carry out a lot of the repairs that need doing, plus many other things. And if we did not have them, it would cost us a fortune. But they give of their time, expertise and energy freely as part of their giving to God. Jan makes sure all the linen is clean on the altar. Dave is always willing to help. Paul is always doing bits and pieces and is always here. And the list goes on. And I know many others do what they can. But are we all doing everything that we can to ensure God's house is worthy of him? I'm sure you've got the gist of what I'm saying by now. It's not all about our finances, which obviously are important. Otherwise, we would not be able to keep the hall and church going. But it's just as important to give of our time, energy and gifts, which are all given to us by God on loan, not for us to store away in a storehouse waiting until the time is right or decide we might be able to spare an hour or two. It all goes back to what we can give back to God. What gifts, talents are you holding onto that could be used to glorify God? So many in our world today have a misconception that what they have belongs to them. But it doesn't. Everything we have is on loan from God. Jesus said, do not store away in barns. There's all sorts of ways we store things away. Money is one of those things. Although it's important that we save for a rainy day and make provisions for our retirement. But storing up our money or resources is wrong when they can be used to benefit the kingdom of God. Are we robbing from God? I'm sure you've heard the saying, you can't take it with you. And that's so true. Therefore, it's more important that we store up spiritual wealth. Martin mentioned about the parable of the talents 2 weeks ago, and how one had doubled what he had been given, and God's response to him was, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm sure many of you remember Roy Taylor, a faithful, generous member of this church, not only with his money, but also with his time. He was one of the original Bodget and Leggett guys, and he would always say that as hard as he tried, he could not give his money away. Every time he tried, he was blessed with more. And if you should mention about the time he invested in God's church free of charge, he would always say, yes, but my pension is out of this world. Roy had grasped the concept that all he had, time, money, energy, health, etc., were all gifts from God. And he knew when his time came, he couldn't take any of that with him. But he could take his spirit of servanthood and generosity. Because I believe when he met God, he would have been greeted with the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have done well with all that I have given you. God looks to see how generous we are to his church, both financially and with our time, because he works through the church. And when we bless the work of the church, we are blessing God with what he has given to us. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I wonder, have you ever seen Keeping Up Appearances with Hyacinth, where she's always trying to impress others? It's a bit like keeping up with the Joneses. Serving God is not about impressing others or making ourselves look good. It's about offering God our gifts to further his work. Take, for example, the parable of the widow's mite. She came to the altar and gave her last mite, which in monetary terms is a very small coin of little value. But she gave everything she had. She did it for the Lord. There were wealthy people also placing money in the pot. However, they were giving out of their abundance. The word abundance means leftovers. After the rich had paid all their bills and spent money on the things they wanted, they still had money left over. They gave God what they had left over. Although it was still a lot of money, but it was less than the widow, because even though she didn't have much to give, she gave everything. I wonder, is that how we give, or do we give out of our abundance? A guide was conducting a group of tourists around the Empire State Building on the elevator ride to the 102nd floor, a nervous woman asked, what if these elevator cables should break? Would we go up or down? That, the guide said, depends entirely on the kind of life you've been living. The people of Malachi's day ignored God when he said in verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. They had not trusted God enough to provide for them. They feared losing what they had worked so hard to get. Then further on in our reading, we see the arrogant attitude toward God from the people in verses 13 to 15, when they asked, what good does it do to serve God? In other words, they're asking, what's in it for me? Malachi had seen how they were struggling with their selfish desires, grumbling that God hadn't given them their fair share. They had forgotten all what God had done for them in the past. They had missed the point entirely, and instead they were moaning and saying, "It's futile to serve God. Well, what did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners outwardly?" They were going through the motions of loving God and devoting themselves to him, but inwardly they were not doing it for the right reasons and thinking, "This religion stuff is a drag. I want to do things my way when I want to. I want some fun out of life." We need to be careful with this kind of thinking, because the flesh is inclined to self-pity, self-focus, and self-centeredness. And sadly, this kind of thinking is constantly being fed to us by the world, telling us, if there's nothing in it for you, why do it? If the church isn't meeting your needs, bail out. You deserve happiness, and you can't keep on worrying about others. God understands that your needs must come first. Is this true? Is it all about us, or is it about God and what we can do to serve him and others? The word spoken in verse 13, "You have said harsh things against me," have offended God. Do our words and actions offend God? In Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." God wants us to be generous with our words, because words are either good or bad, and he wants them to be good, coming from a heart that's entwined with his, because the words we speak really matter. Every word we speak can either be a brick to build or a bulldozer to destroy, writes Joyce Meyer. Whatever is stored up in your heart will sooner or later be expressed by your words. Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in them, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in them. You cannot change your thought patterns on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit filling your heart with his love and good fruit. We need to constantly remind ourselves of all that God has done for us in our lives, both individually and as a congregation. And yes, we need to give as a token of our gratitude, which means that our giving should be in proportion to what God has given to us through his Son, Jesus, who died, who did not withhold anything from us. He gave his all. Are we willing to give our all back to God? Because when we do, we are given the reassurance that a grateful giver will be blessed in the giving. When we give, whether that's of our wealth or time, God will bless it. Maybe not here on earth, but we will certainly receive it in the future life with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many gifts that you give to us day by day. Father, we pray that we would use those gifts wisely, that we would give back to you what you have given on loan to us. Help us, Lord, to meet the needs of those around us and to meet the needs of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.